I'm Lauren Letellier.
I'm Chris Atkins. We're volunteers at the Rojan Library.
And this is WGXC, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we're going to hear an interview with Yvette Janine Jackson, an artist who has the newest installation here at Wave Farm in Acre. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
This is the
news.
This is the network.
Nick Lowe and Los Straitjackets perform June 15th at Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Find out more about the Nick Lowe, Los Straitjackets show on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. It's at 8 p.m. on June 15th at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Henning's Local Test Kitchen in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mid-Hudson News reports that the promoter of a gun show scheduled to take place in Saugerties, who previously agreed to cancel the event, has now changed his mind and will hold the event next weekend, despite the recent mass murders in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. On June 9th, Mechanicsville resident David Petronis, president of the New East Coast Arms Collectors Association, met with Saugerties Town Supervisor Fred Costello and agreed to cancel the show in the wake of the killings. But on June 11th, he reversed himself and issued a statement saying that the show will go on. Petronas initially said that to hold the show, quote, would have been irresponsible and insensitive to all those who recently lost loved ones, unquote. But on June 11th, he said the, quote, aggressive turnaround, unquote, will create controversy. And, quote, the controversy brings the news brings the people, unquote. He added, quote, we should get a huge crowd, if nothing else, from the gun-owning public that than just sticking the liberals in the eye with a good show of support for our show, unquote. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Brendan J. Lyons reports for the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul may have signed a new law to raise the age from 18 to 21 for purchasing any semi-automatic rifle and requires a license for someone to purchase those firearms. But the law does not go into effect for 90 days from signing. And in the meantime, a gun store owner says sales of semi-automatic rifles are brisk. One local gun store owner who wished to remain anonymous said they had a, and I quote, 200%, end quote, increase in firearm sales since Hochul signed the bill. He said, and I quote, that age group understands that they're never going to be able to buy again, and they have a 90-day window to purchase those firearms before the law takes effect. They're not buying ARs, but they're buying semi-automatic rimfires, which they'll never be able to get again. The governor just created a mass of people who now own firearms but may not otherwise have purchased a gun, end quote. Hochul claims signing several gun laws will have an effect in New York. She said when signing the bill, and I quote, I am proud to sign a comprehensive bill package that prohibits the sale of semi-automatic weapons to people under 21, bans body armor sales outside of people in select professions, closes critical gun law loopholes, and strengthens our red flag law to keep guns away from dangerous people. New measures that I believe will save lives, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Luke Parsnow reports for New York State of Politics that COVID-19 community levels in New York State continued to decline from a post-Omicron springtime spike, leaving only 7 of the state's 62 counties designated as having high community levels of the virus, according to data released June 10th from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Columbia, Dutchess, Greene, and Ulster counties have low community levels. The current high counties are Clinton County and in the North Country and Rensselaer and Schenectady counties in the Capital Region, Orange and Sullivan counties in the western Hudson Valley, and Suffolk County on Long Island. CDC uses a high, medium, and low classifications based on the number of new cases per 100,000 people in the past 7 days, the number of new hospital admissions with COVID-19 in the past 7 days per 100,000 people, and the percentage of staffed inpatient beds in use by patients with COVID-19 within a 7-day average. With a high level, the CDC recommends wearing masks indoor, public areas, and on public transportation. Nationwide, there are 314 counties, CDC said, have high levels of COVID-19, which is up from the last 2 weeks. Counties with high community levels of the coronavirus are scattered throughout the country, with concentrations in the mid-Atlantic states and Florida and parts of the upper Midwest, Southwest, and West Coast. The Biden administration late last week announced it is lifting its requirement that international air travelers to the U.S. take a COVID-19 test within a day before boarding their flights. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Ted Remsnyder at Columbia Green Media features Jamie Cheney, the Rhinebeck-based farmer who has announced a run for Congress. Cheney faces Ithaca lawyer Josh Riley and Out Hudson Executive Director Osan Zoti in the Democratic primary on August 23rd. Cheney and her husband Christian own Falcon Field in Rhinebeck, a cattle farm on the Columbia and Dutchess County border that focuses on Angus beef. Cheney is a Yale graduate who earned her MBA from Harvard Business School. Originally, Cheney was running for state senate in the 43rd district. Then redistricting upended the 43rd district and put Cheney in the new 41st district, which meant she would have faced incumbent state Senator Michelle Henchy. Instead, she chose to run for Congress. Cheney said, and I quote, when the 19th district was redrawn, I unfortunately did not see a Democratic candidate in the race that I think can hold his seat and make sure we're represented in D.C. in a way that represents our values and some of the key policy issues that we need, end quote. She went on to say, and I quote, I feel very strongly that the 19th must be represented in that way, end quote. And recent headlines also helped spur her run. She said, and I quote, I am of a generation that never thought we'd go backwards on Roe and thought we'd always expand access to the ballot, end quote. Cheney also mentioned the lack of access to health care and broadband service as motivating issues. Cheney said, and I quote, the other priority for me is making sure our rural communities have a strong voice that reflects our policies in our smaller towns and smaller cities. I think we've had very well-intentioned policies, but particularly in the Democratic caucus, it's been written from our large urban centers, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Democratic committee chairs from the counties that make up the current 19th congressional district have unanimously chosen Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan as the Democratic nominee to run in the August 23rd special election. If elected, Ryan would fill the remainder of Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado's congressional term, which ends on December 31st. Under election laws and party rules, the task of selecting the nominee in a special election is delegated to the county chairs. The current 19th district includes all of Columbia, Delaware, Greene, Otsego, Sullivan, and Ulster counties, and parts of Dutchess, Montgomery, Rensselaer, and Schoharie counties. Ryan is also running for a full two-year term in the newly drawn 18th district in November. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Aaron Serbone is reporting for Adirondack's Daily Enterprise that Representative Elise Stefanik is sticking by her endorsement of Carl Paladino despite several controversial statements from the new candidate from New York's 23rd Congressional District. Incumbent Republican Chris Jacobs dropped his re-election campaign last week after his support for a few gun control measures in the wake of the Buffalo mass shooting caused widespread backlash among his GOP supporters. So Paladino stepped up to run for the office. In 2021, Paladino said Adolf Hitler is, and I quote, the kind of leader we need today. We need somebody inspirational. We need somebody that is a doer, has been there and done it, end quote. Stefanik, whose new 20th district includes Rensselaer County, told HuffPost on June 9th that Paladino's statement was taken, and I quote, out of context, end quote. Last week, just before announcing his run for Congress, Paladino shared a post on Facebook with several false conspiracy theories, including that mass shootings are set up to create gun control legislation. Paladino first denied posting the writing, later admitted he did, and then told the Buffalo News, and I quote, I don't even know how to post on Facebook, end quote. Stefanik's press officers did not respond about the unsourced conspiracy theories. Stefanik's press office did not respond about the unsourced conspiracy theories. She continues to endorse Paladino. And you can read more about this story in the Adirondack's Daily Enterprise.
Jeanette Wolfberg reports for the Columbia paper that the Hudson Board of Education hired Derek Reardon as principal of Hudson High School effective July 1st. Reardon has served as the school's interim principal since May 1st, filling the vacancy created by the departure of Robert Lacasse. Reardon was first hired by the district in 1999 as a physical education teacher. He was appointed high school associate principal in 2006 and junior high principal in 2009. Reardon also served as the district's athletic director. Superintendent Lisa Marie Spindler acknowledged Reardon's long history with and commitment to the Hudson schools. Reardon holds a master's degree from SUNY Albany in education administration and a bachelor's degree in physical education from SUNY Brockport. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we're giving out renewable weather forecasts because the price of fossil fuels is so high. It's $4.99 a gallon is the lowest price in Greene County for fuel, and that's at the Sunoco in Tannersville, according to Gas Buddy. National Weather Service in Albany says Monday will be a good day for local solar panels, with mostly sunny skies, a high of 77, and a northwest wind increasing to 5 to 9 miles per hour. Monday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 55 and a northwest wind 3 to 7 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Tuesday, mostly sunny again with a high of 78 and a low around 57. And Wednesday is sunny for a third day straight with a high of 80 and a low around 61. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered community radio for open ears. Tune in Monday, June 13th to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. Including at 9 a.m., we hear from Yvette Janine Jackson, the artist who has a new installation at Wave Farm in Acre. At 10 a.m., it's time for Jump on the Afrosonic Taxi with tracks this week from Osei Tuta, Femi Kuti, and Deli Sosimi, among others. And the Pixies are the featured artist on Brendan Donegan's Playing Favorites show at 11 a.m., broadcast live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. After the local news at noon, it's time for the Deep Three show this week with tracks from Jackie Apple, Arturo Sandoval, and Florian Hoffner, among others. Vital Weekly at 2 p.m. features brand new music from around the world. This week, Carl Stone, Bruno Duplant, and Rina Bargi are among the artists featured. 4 p.m., we're live from Housatonic in Western Massachusetts with Kieran Riley and the WGXC Afternoon Show. The Law and Disorder Show is on at 7 p.m., and then it's time for Bontanut's Radio with Doja Cat, Yemi Alidi, Kwesi Arthur at 8 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Sunday, July 3rd. World-renowned harpist Mary Lattimore performs at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock at 8 p.m., and you can find out all about the event on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. Lattimore has played harp on records with Kurt Vile, Thurston Moore, Sharon Van Etten, Meg Baird, and many others, and comes from Los Angeles to Woodstock on Sunday, July 3rd at the Colony Cafe at 8 p.m. Go to WGXC.org in the community calendar to find out more about this event and many others.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wave Farm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, June 13th. We are 44.9% of the way through the year, which means we have 8 days left until summer. Early morning temperatures range from 58 degrees in Lexington to 64 in Red Hook. Regional soil temperatures average about 63 degrees, expected to be around 61 up in the hills. This morning, pretty much before 9 a.m., watch out for patches of fog. After that, a very warm afternoon is in store with a high of 82 happening at 4 p.m. Dew points will diverge a bit, keeping things feeling dry. Couple that with some stiff winds and it should be nice out. Overnight temperatures fall to 55 degrees before bouncing right back up to 82 tomorrow afternoon. 60 degrees overnight takes us into a mostly dry Wednesday with a high of 63. Near dark, however, light chances of rain enter the area. And Thursday, that rain picks up, bringing some storms with it. The hottest temperature expected this week is 84 degrees. The coldest is 54. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:13 a.m., low tide at 9:15 a.m., high tide again at 2:42 p.m., then low tide once again at 9:15 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:17 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see flare activity caused a radio blackout over Japan early this morning. We are still awaiting confirmation of a coronal mass ejection. Solar wind speed is currently 500 kilometers per second at 8.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible until dark, then fair below 5 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 5, storm level. The current sunspot number is 63. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Galen, Tom, and Echo of Akron, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Why did you say that? Aloha out there in Radio Land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Up from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Dozen senators, Democrats and Republican, have been working here in the Senate to come together around a framework that could provide greater protection, improve gun safety, strengthen background checks, and invest in mental health for our country.
Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware Sunday announced a bipartisan plan to address gun violence through incentives for state red flag laws and more school security funding. Critics noted it doesn't include an assault weapon ban or provision to raise their purchase age. The recent mass shootings also spurred this weekend's revival of March for Our Lives events in more than 400 cities, including Los Angeles. David Hogg, a survivor of the 2018 Parkland massacre, spoke in D.C.
The failure to pass a single set common sense gun law at the federal level to curb gun violence rests squarely with Washington, right here in the seat of our democracy, with the politicians who refuse to do their jobs and keep us alive.
The granddaughter of Martin Luther King Jr., 8th grader Yolanda Renee King, also spoke there.
This isn't about politics. It's about morality. Not right and left, but right and wrong. And that doesn't just mean thoughts and prayers. That means courage and action.
vigils in Orlando Sunday marked the 7th anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting. 49 people died in the attack on the gay bar. On Saturday, 31 members of white supremacist group Patriot Front were arrested for conspiracy to riot at an Idaho Pride event. They were found inside a U-Haul with riot gear. President Joe Biden traveled to New Mexico to tour the largest wildfire in state history. He announced the federal government will cover the full cost of New Mexico's emergency response.
We have a responsibility to help this state recover, to help the families who have been here for centuries, and the beautiful northern New Mexico villages who can't go home and whose livelihoods have been fundamentally changed.
More than 500 square miles have been charred since April after prescribed burns by the U.S. Forest Service backfired. Former vice presidential nominee and Alaska Governor Sarah Palin has a shot to fill the House seat of late Representative Don Young. She finished in the top four of a 48-person primary ahead of a special election in August. The House committee investigating the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol will hear testimony today from former President Donald Trump's campaign manager, Bill Stepien. Panel members say it will help reveal how Trump fueled the riot, but Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene called the probe a witch hunt.
They want you to think that these are the people that are hurting our so-called democracy when they're the very people. They're the party in charge that is absolutely ripping our Constitution to shreds and destroying your freedoms.
Daytime hearings will also be held on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Former President Donald Trump's social media service, Truth, which he started after he was kicked off Twitter for lies and misinformation, is not a place one can be banned for their beliefs, right? Quote, I created Truth Social and TMTG to stand up to the tyranny of big tech. We live in a world where the Taliban has a huge presence on Twitter, yet your favorite American president has been silenced. This is unacceptable, unquote, Trump said in a press release last year before his site launched, bragging about the lack of censorship. Now Mike Masnick reports at TechDirt that Trump's Truth site is banning users for trying to spread some truths about the January 6th hearings. Quote, my Truth Social account was just permanently suspended for talking about the January 6th committee hearings, unquote. Travis Allen, a political commentator on social media and self-described information security analyst, posted on Twitter on June 9th, the day the first public hearing on the attempted coup of the United States was held. Quote, so much for free speech. This is censorship, unquote, he wrote. Jack Cocciarilla posted on Twitter a similar story on June 10th. Quote, I was suspended from Truth Social for posting about the January 6th hearing last night, unquote, he wrote. Quote, Donald Trump is scared of free speech, unquote. And this is not the first time that cancel culture has come to Trump's version of the truth. In February, TechDirt reported, quote, Trump's social network is rapidly banning users it doesn't like without telling them why, unquote. And the site's terms of service state that they may ban users. Quote, we reserve the right to, in our sole discretion and without notice or liability, deny access to and use of the service, including blocking certain IP addresses, to any person for any reason or for no reason, unquote. Of course, no one has a constitutional right to a Twitter or Truth account, and companies are allowed to do what they want, even if Donald Trump doesn't want you to believe that truth. Read more radio news online at wavefarm.org. We're speaking with Yvette Janine Jackson about her new installation at Wave Farm in the woods at Wave Farm. You want to tell us what is it called?
It's called Underground Codes, and it's a companion piece to Destination Freedom. So together, they make up one composite installation.
And tell listeners what Destination Freedom is or was or still is.
Yeah, so Destination Freedom started as an electroacoustic composition that was initially for, I think, 8 channels, which was presented at Audiorama in Stockholm around 2017. And since then, there's been different iterations of it. But it's basically an expansion of an earlier piece called Swan, which is told in 3 scenes. So the first scene, the listeners are placed in the hold of a cargo ship that's transporting Africans to the Americas. The second scene is kind of this disorienting transit. And then the third scene is this cathartic release into space. And so that was the original piece, and Underground Codes responds to that piece, but it's also very site specific and informed by my trip to Wave Farm in March of 2022.
And so how is it site specific? What do listeners or viewers see and hear as they approach it?
Sure. Well, when I was initially thinking about this idea, I think I had Galen Joseph Hunter and I had spoken around 2020 about this idea of an installation. And so an album version of Destination Freedom had just come out, and it at the time made sense to kind of do a response to this as an installation. And so when I came here to visit, over a year after starting this project, things that stood out to me were just kind of thinking about what it would be like to experience a sound installation, in the middle of the woods. A lot of my pieces have been composed for concert halls or theaters where the audience is surrounded by multiple speakers. But what does it mean to have, these two white cowls that are emerging from the ground and emitting sounds?
And a cowl is a thing that you would see on a ship?
Yeah, it's kind of like a giant horn, in this case, emerging from the earth. And each cowl, so there's one cowl that has Destination Freedom and the other that has Underground Codes. And together, these soundscapes are overlapping and kind of interacting. And there are these moments that kind of seem like a call and response between them. And then also, I think it's unique, or not necessarily unique, but part of the experience is hearing it with the birds and the... There's, moments where, outside, external to the soundscape, the trees are blowing in the wind, or, you get the creaks of the trees. But there's also, like, creaks from trees inside of the soundscape as well.
And you approach it, and you see, like, these ship parts, and it's... partially from Destination Freedom with on a ship, but here it's not on a ship, but use the word underground, which is also tied into the long historical journey of those Africans on those ships.
Yeah, so for part of the title, Underground Codes, and Codes is parenthetical, for me as a composer, I usually... prepare each piece with a series of storyboards. So for Destination Freedom, I mentioned those three scenes, but for Underground Codes, I was thinking of the first scene, like literally underground, then above ground, and then, transmitting to the stars. So really it is kind of a message from the earth to the skies. I've already had some questions about the meaning of Underground Codes, and my installations and compositions, usually I'm not really interested in telling someone what the meaning is, but I do think that people bring to each piece their own experiences and, pre-existing knowledge to make meaning of it. And I think in the context of the woods, as soon as you begin hiking up the trail towards the location of the cowls, it begins to make sense, and each person will have a different meaning from that.
Yeah, to me, my individual, like walking up the hill, you kind of are looking underground in a way, like you're facing straight into the incline, which is points you under the ground.
Right. Yeah. I like the idea of these sounds. Basically, there's a, I'm going to call it a poem. You can maybe put that in quotation, air quotes. There's a poem that accompanies the piece on the signage there. But I'll kind of paraphrase it, which is essentially what the poem is saying is that the earth, or the earth planet, as I call it, holds the truth, because I mean, there's also, you know, especially in the past 2 years, but throughout history, have been just kind of different interpretations of what is true and what has happened. And so part of the piece is this idea of the earth is the archivist of the truth and is emitting it through these sounds. And it was also partially, you know, I mentioned my site visit in March being part of informing this piece, but also spending time in the library here. There's a book on the history of Greene County. And so just thinking about what has been documented from this area and how we record history and how that changes.
And history, of course, is everything underground is history. It's like a record of the long history of the earth.
Exactly. I mean, humans may argue over, you know, what is true and what happened and how it happened, but I think, you know, the earth holds those records.
I wanted to ask about one more thing that you mentioned before that sounded fascinating to me, was that when you do audio pieces, you storyboard them? So you really visualize the sounds that you're composing.
Yes. I mean, my storyboards aren't that I wouldn't hang them. Well, maybe I would hang them in a museum or gallery, but the storyboards are mostly meant to guide me, since I'm working with a variety of source materials. So I use field recordings, and you know, there's synthesis, both analog and digital, and you know, Foley, and you know, sampled excerpts of various ensembles that I have, and so to help me organize, since I'm not using, you know, necessarily rooted in traditional musical structures, I use the storyboard just to help guide the emotional contour. But it's really, you know, not as important for the listener to know this, but just to help me make whatever I'm working with seem coherent in some way.
And I guess really all compositions, or most compositions, are kind of storyboarded, but on, like, with notes. But are you storyboarding with symbols or with ideas or
A combination of images. I'm really into triptychs, so you know, I usually have three panels. I mean, you can think of it as beginning, middle, end, act one, act two, act three. You know, exposition, development, recapitulation, whatever language you want to use, and sometimes I think in those ways simultaneously. As I'm developing things. But at the same time, I also, while editing or while composing, may let go of those ideas and just let my ear guide whatever's happening.
And so this piece has started as a composition. It was released as an album. Does it have and now it's an installation out in the woods. Does it have other lives?
Well, so far Well, Destination Freedom exists in many forms. So there's an album that was produced by the Friedman Gallery that's available on Bandcamp and as vinyl. There are concert presentations, which can range, depending on the venue, from a stereo to 8-channel is the ideal presentation to I did a variation of it for 138 speakers for the Cube at Virginia Tech a couple of years ago. I think that was 2018. And then Underground Codes, this is the first iteration of it. And I've been thinking about how the soundscape, how it feels, how it has meaning on its own, but also what it means in the context of experiencing it alongside Destination Freedom, and the birds and the winds and everything. And, you know, even the people listening who, by the time you hike up, you may or may not be out of breath. Like, that's all a part of it.
All right. Is there anything else you want to tell listeners or potential viewers about Underground Codes and Destination Freedom?
I'm always open. You know, you can reach me through my website, which is yvettejackson.com. I'm always curious to hear what people, you know, think and feel when experiencing these pieces.
All right. Thank you very much for talking about this today.
All right. Thank you.
Next, let's listen to Yvette Janine Jackson's Underground Codes, the new installation in the woods at Wave Farm.
in hard time Mississippi, surrounded by for what that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the